In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The backstories are important. The backstories make the rest of the story feel more real. It all starts in the backstories. Peter and John had been walking into the temple. They were walking through the gates called the Beautiful Gate. And there in the gates, they saw a lame beggar asking for money. And presumably, he was asking all the passers-by for money. Peter and John stopped, and they looked at him. They met his eyes. They acknowledged his reality. And they told him, in turn, to look at them, to see them, not just as passers-by, but as real human beings. And he did look eagerly. He looked, expecting some money. But Peter told him, "I have no money at all, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I order you to get up and walk." And everyone there in the beautiful gate of the temple saw the beautiful beggar get up and walk. They saw and they knew that what they were seeing was real. And that's where our reading from Acts takes up this morning. The women who went to the tomb found no body. Instead, they found two men in brightly shining clothes who told them that Jesus had been raised. And the women, remembering that Jesus had told them that this would happen, knowing that what they were seeing, this empty tomb, these bright figures, knowing that what they were seeing was real, they went and they told the others. Now, the others, perfectly naturally, thought they were being hysterical women. Who wouldn't, them, right? Except for Peter. Peter went and saw the empty tomb for himself. He saw the empty tomb, he saw the grave clothes, and he too was amazed. He didn't see Jesus, because Jesus at that very moment was walking and talking with a couple on their way to Emmaus. And as they walked to Emmaus, where they would share bread, and they would know that it was real. The resurrection was real. The couple then ran back to Jerusalem, and they told the others. And while they were still speaking with the others, our reading takes up. Jesus stood among them, and he showed them his wounds, and they touched his body, and they watched him eat, and they knew that he was real. All of it was real. The miracles, the teachings, the friendships, the angels, the empty tomb, the walking and the talking and the touching and the eating body, the one who had died, now alive. It was real. This was not ghostly illusions. This was not cleverly devised myths. None of this was some sort of spiritual truth seen and understood by just a few enlightened ones. The resurrection was not, as it has come to be popular to believe, just Jesus living on in the hearts of his followers. It was real as you are, as real as I am. And that's the whole point of this exercise. From the moment Mary told the angel, "May it be with me as you have said," it was real. It's all there in the backstory. God didn't just enter the world to walk through it and enjoy the sights. God became real. God became a part of the world, measurable, touchable, reachable, seeable, findable. God connected and interacted and related to all things. Jesus' body had mass and exerted gravity. Gravity extends a long way. Jesus' gravity, infinitesimal though it might be, extended to galactic clusters. His very existence affected everything. Jesus was part of all the ecological systems of Earth. He consumed resources, he excreted waste, he cut down trees and turned them into tables and chairs. Mosquitoes drank the blood of Christ and horseflies ate his flesh. He shed skin cells, he dripped sweat and blood, he lost hairs, and those atoms are still a part of this very world, this real world. He breathed on his apostles and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and that breath is in your lungs now. His effects on the social and political structures of this world are still reverberating strongly today. Jesus was real. But Jesus' reality, God's incarnation on earth, it wasn't just an exercise for God to prove their existence. It was deeper than that, bigger than that. It was the backstory of everything. Theologian Karl Barth famously wrote, "Because God has become man, the existence of creation can no longer be doubted." Because God has become man, the existence of creation can no longer be doubted. God's entry into creation, the Word becoming flesh, united the world with reality itself, with being itself, with existence itself. And the ongoing reality of the resurrected Jesus means that like him, we real things inherit eternity. We real things now, today, are made children of God. And we real things can continue to find Jesus Christ in all the real things around us. We find Jesus in the lame who learn to walk. We find him in the wisdom that we hear from angels, in the opening of our minds to understand knowledge and wisdom, in the breaking of bread and in the sharing of fish and the pouring of wine. We find Jesus in mosquitoes, in indrawn breath. We look really hard, even in politics. And this thing that we're here doing today, this isn't just an intellectual exercise. This isn't just an emotional experience. This sharing in the real life of Christ creates reality for us. The sharing in the real life of Christ makes us real. Sometimes that's easier to see than others. Sometimes we need to touch the wounds, as we heard last week. Sometimes we need to see Jesus eat the fish. But the reality is always there. It's always there, not just to be felt, but to be looked in the eyes and touched and held and fed. We are witnesses of these things. And because all these things are not just ideas, not just feelings, not just concepts, but real, that means there are real repercussions. There are real responses, real reactions. Because the reality of Jesus is what permeates everything and gives it reality, this world too, as it looks around, is constantly seeing the incarnate and risen God in everything it sees, in sunsets, in wild places, in times of silence, in cries for justice. The world sees Christ in reality and is amazed and shakes its head, but then says, "Huh, that was cool," and walks on. They see and they are amazed because they don't have Peter and John to point out that these things are what happens when God puts themselves into our wounds. They don't have Peter and John to tell them that it is not their fault that they don't recognize the deeper reality, the things that are going on around them. But we are witnesses of these things. And if these things are real, then we are bound by them. And our response to reality can't just be the intellectual exercise. Our response can't just be the emotional experience. The incarnation and resurrection of Christ make creation real. They also make us real. Our actions must be real. Our decisions must be real. Our words must be real. Proclaim peace. Proclaim the risen Christ. Proclaim forgiveness of sins. Proclaim repentance in a new way. Our obedience must be real. Love one another. Our actions must be real. Go out and heal the earth. Our repentance, when we fall, must be real. Offer forgiveness. It's real. All of it's real. It really happened. It's still really happening. We are children of God now. Proclaim reality to all nations. Amen.